All right, well, let's get into the word tonight. We're going to go to Luke 1, 26 through 33. You know, the message is called Chosen by God. You have been chosen by God, believe it or not. Do you feel chosen? I heard no. How many of you know I do not feel chosen tonight? By the end of tonight, you will feel chosen, okay? Mark my words. Because we're going to learn tonight how we are chosen by God. And in Luke 1, 26, the best story for this perfect season, it's Mary. If anybody was chosen by God, Mary was chosen to birth Jesus Christ into this world for you and for I. So in Luke 1, 26, we're going to go ahead and read, and it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, on the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest, the Lord God, and give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.'" Now, I don't know about you, but if an angel showed up to me and said, "By the way, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be in your tummy, and you have never known a man, but this is it," you better believe God chose her. There is something special about her. She was chosen by God. He saw something inside of her that I'm sure others didn't see. And just like Mary, God sees something inside of you that maybe others aren't seeing. And I know that I was always pastor's kid. And believe it or not, we always have something, you know, those pastor's kids. Have you ever heard that? Those pastor's kids, they're the worst ones. They're the worst. They're worse than any other kids. Oh, come on. Your kids just don't live in a fishbowl. And you know what? It's true. And it was so often that I was the one chosen to be the troublemaker in the youth ministry. I was the one in the meetings. Well, she did it. And it was like, okay, fine. I guess I did it. You know? And it seems like everybody always chooses the worst in you. Humanity will find the worst in each other. But you know what? God finds the best in all of us. And when Mary found out she was pregnant, you mean to tell me that people weren't like, "Ooh, she is pregnant? You think she didn't have sex?" Yeah, right. She said God came to her and put that baby in her tummy. I don't think so. I'm sure she dealt with it. I'm sure there were people naysayers. I'm sure there were people talking and saying, "Why does she think she's so chosen? Why does she think she's the one?" But listen, God knew her. He knew her character. He knew how awesome she was. He knew that she was equipped and empowered and that he could trust her with his son. What an incredible call. What an incredible mission God has given her. And just like Mary, God has a purpose and a destiny and a mission for your life. And if she can carry Jesus into this world and be an example of what God has chosen, we can follow after Mary and say, "Okay, God, just as you chose her for something so big, God, I know you've given me something and you've chosen me for something big." And so tonight, I want you to know that you've been chosen by God for something big in your sphere of influence. I'm not in your world. You're in your world. You know your family members. You know the people you work with. You know the people you get on the bus with. You know the people that you come across in the store. I'm not there, but you are. And you are called and you are chosen to do something and to tell someone about Jesus. You are the one that is going to be the face of Christ to them this holiday season. And God says, "I have chosen you and I have called you." In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I have been called out of darkness. I was a screw up. Anyone else? Can I get a witness? We were all screw ups. But listen, God called me out of darkness and he put me into his marvelous light. And I am a called and a chosen generation. And you are sitting in this room tonight, not just anyone is going to, after work, get here. Maybe some of you didn't eat tonight. Maybe some of you were just struggling to make it. You know, it's cold. You want to cozy up by the fire and watch a movie, right? All those little Christmas movies on the Hallmark channels. But no, you guys were special because you made your way to the house of God because you knew there was something that you had to get. And you are going to get it tonight because God has called you and he has chosen you for such a time as this. And you are not here by chance, but you are here because God has something to put inside of us tonight so that we don't leave the same. So just as Mary, God chose her because she was special. She was unique. She was amazing. God knew her character. God knew her heart. God knows your character and God knows your heart. And God says, I know you and I have something for you. So you guys ready to find out what God has for us? If you have your pen and paper out, go ahead and write down, what are you chosen for then? I mean, Pastor Jess, what am I chosen for then? I mean, I'm such a mess up. I've been in jail. You know, I've been like the mom that should have been there for my kids, but I wasn't there for my kids. I'm a deadbeat dad. I'm a mess up husband. I'm a mess up wife. I can't keep a job. I just try so hard, and every time I get on the job, I get fired again. I am not chosen for anything. I'm such a screw up. Listen, if that's you tonight, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And God has a call and a destiny on your life. And God says, what you've been chosen for is, number one, for such a time as this. You see, we are in a day and age where everything is opposite of good. There's no good. The world calls good bad and bad is good. God is just, you know, in a group of all these other supposed gods. There's no other God but Jesus Christ, just so you know. But the world likes to, you know, if we believe in something good, that's what they say. Well, if, you know, as long as we believe in something good, oh, please, come on. That is not true. And if you've been believing that, we'll tell you how to know who Jesus Christ is later on. But listen, you have been born for such a time as this. You weren't born when the Roman Empire fell. You weren't born when Hitler was on earth. You weren't born when all of these things happened because God needed you for right now. He needed you for now. He needed you because he knew you would come in contact with somebody. He knew that this was your day, that this was your age, that those were your kids to raise right now. God knew that that was your husband to believe for. God knew that that was your wife to believe for right now. God knew that you guys would be in each other's world to equip, to empower, to strengthen people in the things of God. And listen, we can so easily talk ourselves out of our value. But God says, stop talking yourself out of the value I've placed on you. Because I went to the cross, and the value that has been placed on your life is more valuable than you will ever think, dream, or imagine. God knew you before you were born, and he knew when you need to be born. And we have to trust that God knows that. There was a lady by the name of Esther. I just love Esther. I'm going to move this. I just love Esther. Esther was a woman who was beautiful. And she was the queen. And she was Jewish. And when there was a horrible person in the story and he wanted to take out the Jews. And her uncle Mordecai, he was there and he ripped his clothes before. And he was in the center and he was ripping his clothes and he was praying and fasting and believing God would do something to save the Jews. And Esther sent out her maids and she said, go find out what's going on with Mordecai. And he says, well, this is what's happening. They're going to kill us off. You tell Esther. And this is what he says. And this is what he says to tell Esther. In Esther 4, 14 through 16. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. Let's stop there. For such a time as this. Has God asked you to do something? And you're ignoring him? It's better to do your own thing than God's thing. You see, Esther was faced with, oh my gosh, and Mordecai is saying to her, listen, if you don't do it, someone else will. God is going to deliver us. Who are you? And what is it God needs you to do for such a time as this? Because if you don't do it, it will get done. God will pass you up, and he will find someone who will do it. Let's go back. It says, it will come from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You know, you may be looking at your situation and going, okay, this stinks. My world right now is falling apart. Everything in it is not lining up. Every time I try and do something, it doesn't work. Well, how about you stop doing it on your own ability? How about you get out of the way and you let God get in the way and you let God fix it? Because he obviously has a plan. And listen, this is not about us anyways. This is about, what do you need, God, for me? Because you obviously placed me in this situation for a reason. So instead of looking at your life and going, oh, boo-hoo, I'm a victim. Because I love you, San Bernardino. You all have incredible, horrible stories. I'm not trying to be insincere. Seriously, you break my heart when I hear your stories. I could just cry all day with you. But when do we get to the point where we say, enough? These things have been dealt to me. Life stinks, yeah. And it has in the past. But I met a new person. His name is Jesus Christ. And he knows who I am. And those things that have happened in the past, they're in the past. And I have a new future and a new road to follow. And God says, but for such a time as this, I have placed you in this world, in this situation, so you can pray it through, so you can find your way through. Because like Pastor Dan talked about on Sunday, we don't stay, we go through it. The valley of the shadow of death, we go through it. Don't stay there, go through it. For such a time as this, God had her placed at that time to save the Jews. Then Esther told them in reply in verse 15, verse 16, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king. Now see, if she went to the king without him calling her, she would die. It was automatically she would die unless he put out his scepter, which meant that he accepted her. And that was rare that that would happen. So she was afraid to go to him because it could be her life. And so she said, she will go to the king, which is against the law. And she said this, and if I perish, I perish. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at tonight? If someone came busting through those doors and said, deny Christ or, what would you do? Where would you be? Would you be so self-centered that you couldn't even think about Christ, but you were thinking about yourself? Or would you be like, yes, you know what, God? I've lived my life here for you and for such a time as this. Listen, guys, we are living in a world that is falling and failing fast. But we have a living and breathing God that needs us to be his weapons. And he's placed us on this earth. And you may be frustrated with those kids that just don't get it. I was one of them. I got it. I did get it, I promise. They'll get it. But mama and dada, don't stop praying. Don't stop loving. Don't stop being faithful to what God says. Don't give in to what the world says, but give in to what God says. And you'll never lose. You'll never fail. You say, okay, for such a time as this, did you know you are strategically, you have been strategically placed by God? He knows where he needed you, who he needs you to work with, who he needs you to be by. Have you ever sat on a plane and all of a sudden, I know this happens to my mom all the time. We get on planes and she gets their whole life story. And then they're saved by the end of the plane trip. And I'm thinking, God, am I even safe? Because I don't want to talk to anyone. Like, I'm not kidding. It's like the most amazing gift she has. And I sit here and I go, okay, Lord, what is it you need me to do today? And every time I pray that, if I go to Trader Joe's, the worker there starts talking to me, and I'm like, well, you know, have you been to church in a while? Oh, yeah, well, you know. And then we start kicking up a conversation. I invite them to church. Or if I've been to Albertsons, now this is my role because I have kids, and I just go to the store all the time because I eat everything. So that's my role. I go to the store now. But where are you at? Are you at work? Is there a coworker that drives you insane because they're so anti-Christ? Well, guess what? You so aren't anti-Christ. And good conquers bad always. Haven't you seen the movies? And you need to be an example of Christ because you were placed there strategically for such a time as this. And no one else should be next to that annoying worker except for you, so that you can witness to them, so you can soften their hearts, so you can bring the love of Christ. Because let me tell you, someone has to. And if you don't, God will find someone else. And when you get to heaven, you'll be asked about it. And you're going to go, And there's no finger pointing in heaven, okay? Well, so-and-so was there, so-and-so. No, God's like, I don't see them, I only see you. And I put you there, and I placed you there. One time, I went to the ER or emergency room or whatever, and I couldn't breathe really well. And so Dan had stayed with the kids. I'm sure it was on a Sunday because that only happens on Sundays. And I'm in the emergency room, and I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, bored. And this girl comes in, and she is young, and she cannot – something's wrong with her. She's, like, huddled over. She cannot breathe. She's, like, crying. Her mom is in a panic. And, you know, it's really kind of quiet in those rooms. Nobody wants to look at each other, but they're all listening to each other, you know. And so I'm sitting there on my phone kind of like, yeah, I'm in my own business, but what's going on over there, you know. And the Lord speaks to me and says, so are you going to go pray for her? And I'm like, no. Everybody would see, and I'm a pastor, hello, so I know you feel this way, and so I'm like, everybody would know, and it's kind of really quiet in here, so I'm going to pray for her, you know, and he's like, are you going to do it? And I'm all, sure, so I keep, you know, on my phone or whatever, and he's like, so when are you going to do it? And I'm like, pretty soon, and he's like, okay, it's fine, I'll leave you alone. And as soon as I heard, I'll leave you alone, like, the fear of God just tingled from my toes all the way up, like, oh, no, you can't leave me alone, because then I'll be in disobedience, and then I won't be blessed, and okay, I'll go pray for her. And so, like, I went over there, and I'm like, remember, I can't breathe. And I'm like, hi, can I pray for you? And she was kind of like, okay. And her mom's like, oh, please pray for us. And so we actually went out in the hallway, because I'm not just a quiet prayer, I'm a loud prayer. So we went in the hallway, and I just said to her, you know, I'm a pastor at the Rock Church, and I'm just going to believe in faith for your healing, and I don't know what's going on with you, but let's just get in faith. And she goes, okay. And I go, now listen, I prayed kind of loud, and I really believe God for healing. And she's like, okay. And so I start praying for her, and I'm just like, in the name of Jesus, you're healed by the stripes on the cross. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I start praying this prayer, and at the very end of it, her mom has tears just streaming down her face. And the girl can breathe. And they take her in, of course, right away, because hers was obviously more serious than mine. And so she goes in, and she comes right back out, and I think she was fine. And you know what? Did it hurt me? No. And how do I know that that didn't touch her body and make a mark inside of her? And then I got to invite them to church, and who knows? They could be sitting in this room right now. And God knows whatever happened that day, I have to trust that God planted a seed, because I was there for such a time as that. And I knew that I was in that room for her, not for me. What are you an answer for? You are chosen for a purpose. You are an answer to someone's prayer. Did you know that? Someone is praying, and someone has to answer that prayer. And you're the answer. You're the smile in someone's world that's falling apart. You are. And you are the answer to God's ultimate return. You are the answer. So listen. Point number one, you were chosen for such a time as this. Number two, why are you chosen? You're chosen to make a difference. You're not chosen to sit on the sidelines and watch everyone else play the game of Christianity. You're chosen to be part of the game. You're chosen to get out your bat and your ball and to play the game. And some of you have been on the sidelines for way too long. I've heard this said just recently, well, why would I want to be a Christian? All the people that I know that are Christians, they just call themselves Christians and act like everyone else. Please don't. Because I really am a Christian. And that's offensive to me and to the Holy Spirit. You either are or you aren't. Get it right. Be saved. Be the Christian. Be the church. Do what God's asked you to do. You're here to make a difference. You're not here to be half in, half out. You're here to do what God needs you to do. You're here to make a difference in this world. You're here to kick the devil's door down. You're here to be who it is that God needed you to be, to make a difference in someone's world that's falling apart. Listen, enough's enough. Draw a line in the sand tonight and say, I'm no longer messing around. but I'm going to be here because I know I'm chosen to make a difference. You say, how can I make a difference? How about we start with ourselves? Make a difference in your own life. Change your daily routines. You say, how do I change a daily routine? I get up, I have to go, oh my gosh, all the kids, all da-da-da-da-da-da. Believe me, I know, I'm there, I know. I don't even know I go to sleep at night. What's the point? It's like a joke. Ha ha, you're not going to get any sleep. You know, like, it's just a joke. But listen, I'm not trying to be funny, I'm serious. Every day is a daily routine. What do I do right before I go to bed? Every single night, I read my word. I read my word. Now listen, that has been a discipline. That has been hard. We get home late sometimes. And I still pull it out and I'm like this. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, I don't know what I just read. Can you just seriously just let it drop in, and when I need it, it'll come out. Like seriously, I have to pray those prayers. You can do that. He knows. He's not stupid, but get it in you so it'll come out of you. Do you ever talk to God during the day? Oh, well, Pastor Jess, I don't have time to get in my prayer closet 1 hour a day like you pastors do. Not all pastors do that. Like, seriously. Some do. Pastor Deborah. And just kidding. I love what me and my husband do. We just say the conversation with God is never over. You don't say amen, which I do. But the point is, it's just to get it. You never stop talking to God all day long. All day long, I'm talking to God. Even if I run out of, oh man, I ran out of milk. Well, it's okay. You can go, all right, I'll go to the store. You know, I mean, literally, I am never alone. I am never alone because if Dan's there, I'm doing it with God. If Dan's not there, then I'm doing it with God. Do you see what I'm saying? My relationship with God is my relationship with God. I have to start with me first. I read my word. I pray. You say, well, Pastor Jess, this is like baby message. No, then do it, babies. Because you don't. You don't. And I love you enough to say you really don't. You're disciplined enough to get home, sit your butt on the couch, and turn on a half an hour program. Because you just need a veg. But do you go and you get in your word and make sure you get fed? No, you don't. You turn on those video games. Because I know adults do. Because I play Super Mario Brothers, okay? But listen, I've read my word first. Start making new routines. You guys eat as a family. Everybody's everywhere. Nobody knows what they're eating. Well, how about you make a table and put yourselves together at one table and you say, okay, we're going to talk about the Bible while we eat. And pick a verse and talk about it. Your kids hate it? Too bad. You're the parent. They're not. Okay, just like they don't want to eat vegetables. Well, too bad. You're going to sit here all night until you do. Like, come on, you guys. Just like you have to force feed your kids good food. You need to start learning to force feed yourself some good food. Because you're here to make a difference. But you can't make it until you start with you. Now, for some of the very mature people in this room, all 10 of you. Just go to your prayer closet an extra hour a day. I'm just kidding. But this is for all of us. Because every day we can get busy. Every day our worlds can be changed and our schedules be moved around. How many of you, your plan getting here did not happen? You're here, but it didn't happen the way you thought it would happen. I want to see hands. Yeah, exactly. Hello? No one's plans really ever work. So let that be a lesson to us. Stop making your own plans and just ask God what to do. So start with you. Next, start with your families. Start implementing God into your family. If you don't have a man in the house, then women, you do it. You let God be the man of your house. If you're a man, be a man. And be a godly man. There's nothing more turned off for a woman than an ungodly man. If you're looking for a godly woman wants a godly man. Okay, little hint, little side note there. So if you're looking for the ones at the bars, then you're probably not a godly man. It's not going to work for her. But if you're looking for a godly woman, she wants a godly man. So be a man. Implement God in your walk. implement God in your life. Not just with your family, but remember, it starts with you first. And then it bring it to your family. Starts with you. I can't say that enough, you guys. You can't make a difference in anyone's world until you start with you first. You have to start with you first. Start with you first. Bring it to your family. Bring it to your workplace. Bring it to your schools that your kids go to. Maybe you can be that parent that loves on kids when they walk out those doors because they have deadbeats mom and dads. Maybe you're sitting in this room and you're going, you're a great dad. How about this? Let me challenge some of you. You're a good dad. You're a good man of God. How about you go over to the youth department tonight and sign up to volunteer once a month and witness to those poor kids that have no dads, that are broken and beat up because they feel like they've done something wrong in someone's world. And you love on them and you show them the love of Christ. You see, we're a body here. We're here to make a difference with each other. But if nobody does their part, then nothing will get fixed and nothing will be done. You see, you have it. You're here to make a difference. You go, oh, I never thought of doing that, Pastor Jess. Well, there you go. You have it. Now you have a mission. Now you have a mission. Maybe you see those people that are homeless on the side of the road and you go, I don't know what to do. Well, guess what? We just started the homeless ministry and it is like off the chain. They are already like kicking off the streets with the Rock Church, man. They are like in love with these homeless people and they are getting fed and we are believing God for new things to do with the homeless. So they don't have to remain there. Where are you? Because you're the answer to make a difference in their life. You're it. God made you. Remember, for such a time as this. You're it. What is God asking of you? And what has God asked you to do that you haven't done? What have you not done that God's asked you to do? I want you to go back tonight and get in your prayer closet and find out, God, have I not done something you've asked me to do? And see what he says. It could be something little like you didn't talk to the lady at the store. Go back tomorrow and buy something just so you can get in her line. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. You see, the words of your mouth are powerful. You're here to make a difference. God needs you to do this. Find out what God has for you. What have you been given by God that is lying dormant in your life? Don't allow yourself to live a dormant life. What are we? We're Christians, right? We're alive. We're set free. We're revitalized. We're rejuvenated. We're the life of the party, right? Yeah, well, why do you act so dead all the time? God has called us to be the church. God has called us to make a difference in the world around us. But we can't stand by and let that happen. Don't allow yourselves to live a dormant Christian life. Change it tonight. You know, it's amazing what God did to make a difference. He sent his son on earth and then allowed his son to grow up just like us. Then to die on the cross for you, for your stupid sins and all of our dumb mistakes that we've made because of, hello, I made the dumbest mistakes. I did the stupidest things. And God did all of that. He made such a difference in my world because if I did not have God, I could not be redeemed and reconciled back to him. And I am so grateful for that. And so what do I have now that I can give to him to make a difference? I love him. So I'm going to go out into the world and I'm going to make a difference in my world. And remember, if you love him, you need to make a difference. When you are needed by God, you need to remain flexible. Because there's so many times that he will not allow us to do what we've planned. You can lay the table out. You can set the table. You can do everything you're going to do. Your perfect financial plan to recovery, right? And God says, nuh-uh, I got a different plan. And it is for you to give. You got to give it all away. And you're like, what? No. I've worked like 5 years to save up this money, and you want me to give it away? Listen, if that's the last thing he told you, then do it. Because guess what? There's a blessing on the other side of that, and that's going to make a difference in someone else's life. You're going to change lives with that. And how do you know that that's not what God asked you to do? So be flexible to the plans that God has, because they're never going to be what it is you want usually. It's usually what he wants. God has appointments, so be at the right place at the right time and trust that you are there at the right place at the right time. Many times you sit there and you go, "What? How did I end up here?" How many times have you done that in life? How did I end up here? This is not where I was going. Do you love the GPS system, how it tells you to take a right and you're really supposed to take a left and you're like, "What? My phone never works properly and I just have to put it aside and just say, all right, I'm going to just go with the flow." You know what? Go with the flow with God because you're ready to make a difference, right? So does it matter? Go with the flow because you're going to make a difference. Be flexible because you're ready to make a difference. Give up yourself and take care of you so you can make a difference. Be the difference in someone's world this year. It's coming up on a new year, guys. So this needs to be a new you. Number three, use your gifts and your talents. Pastor Jess, I have no gifts and talents. I don't know how to play the instrument. I cannot sing like Pastor David. I don't preach like you. What are my gifts and talents? Oh, really? Because if you heard me sing, you would not want me to sing. And I never thought I would preach. I grew up with preachers and I said, I never want to preach. I'm telling you right now, I will never be in ministry. Did he have a different plan? Obviously. Listen, what are your gifts and talents? I can look around this room and I can start pointing them out. Man, Lori knows how to make every person in the whole world feel like they are the number one person in her world. She makes you feel like you are queen of the castle when you're around Lori. Lori's an encourager, she's a server, and she loves on you, and you feel like you can conquer the world after you've been with Lori. Mignon. Mignon's an encourager. If you need some good words, Mignon will come and kiss on you. Mignon is an encourager. Christine. Man, Christine can organize the world. Christine can take care of anything, put it where it needs to go, and fix it. And she's good. Do you see what I'm saying? Pastor Joey, man, this guy knows the word. The word's in him, and it flows out of him. You talk to him, it comes out of him. We went to Rhema. We had to keep telling Joey, when you preach, you can't have 20 verses every single point. Like, you got to tone it down, dude. Tone it down, dude. Joey knows the word. Joey's going to give you the word if you go to Joey. You see what I'm saying? Leah over here. She's the most creative person I know. How many creative people in here? You go, oh, well, the church doesn't need me. Oh, we need you. We need you to decorate the trees. We need you to help us think of beautiful stage design. We need you to be creative in the youth ministry because that's the world they live in. We need you. We need your gifts and talents. You have a place here. You like talking to people? Then guess what? A greeter and an usher is a really good place for you. Or how about the first-time visitors booth? That's a good place for you. You see, every single one of you is ordained by God to be in his house and to work in his ministry. But so many of you come in here and you take from the message and you never give back. God hasn't called you to come and sit. God has called you to do. God has said, I've given you gifts and talents and it's time for you to use them. Now listen. Every single one of your incredible faces, I'm looking at you and I think, God, they're amazing, God. That's what I'm thinking inside. You're amazing. So what is it God has your hand to do? What is it? What is it you like doing in life? Find out how that applies to the ministry. We're going to build our services around here. And you know what? We're going to need some help. So how about you start figuring out, get in your prayer closet and say, okay, God, how can I help? Maybe you could be behind a camera. You know, Pastor Luke needs some volunteers on cameras. You got a steady hand, and you like the way camera shots are, and you like that little artsy thing. That's your place. We need you. You like taking pictures? Go serve in the house of God there. Use your gifts and your talents and your abilities that God has given you. Don't allow those to be dormant inside of you. And listen, there was a man by the name of Moses. And he was a businessman. He was raised as a prince. He knew how to lead people. And guess what? Later on, do you think he knew that God was going to ask him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? No, he probably didn't. But his whole life, he was training for it. What are you training for right now? Because God has something for you. How do you know what you're walking in and what you're working on and where you're at right now isn't just training for where the next step is going to lead? And that gift and that talent, God is going to equip it. And you're walking like this with your gifts and your talents. But as you start to get some momentum behind that gift and talent, and as you begin to do it, you're going to be running faster and further than you ever thought. And you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to be like, no! They did not know! They thought they were nothing. That's right. light, you make him wallow. Because you are purposed. You have a vision. You have a talent. God placed it inside of you. None of us are here on this earth for no reason. We all have been designed and purposed by God for something. Use your gift. Use your talent for the kingdom. Don't let it lie dormant. Romans 12, 6 through 8 in the Amplified. So you could just look at it on the screens because it's in the Amplified. It says, having gifts, facilitates talents and qualities. They differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the portion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches to his teaching, he who exhorts, encourages to his exhortation, he who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind, he who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Listen, I don't know about you, but are you a happy person? We need some happy people. Dennis says, yes, I am. We need some happy people around here. We need someone to put a smile on their face and enjoy the kingdom and enjoy people. If you're energized by each other, then come help the house. We need people to learn the sound. We need people to learn the cameras. We need people to do Sunday nights for Pastor Luke so Pastor Luke can get up here and preach on Sunday nights in the back. If you're a behind-the-scenes person, you kind of don't like being on, we have a place for you. Listen, there's always a place for you somewhere around here. And God has a plan for you. There's a God appointment for you. Remember that. What is God asking of you? Ask yourself again. What is he asking of you? Okay, now that you've pulled out my talents and my gifts, what do I do with them? Listen, Mignon, your table's probably going to be rushed now with people like, where can I get involved? On Sundays, there's volunteer centers out in the outer courtyard. I want you to go there and I want you to sign up. You guys be part of this house. If you call the Rock Church your house, you get involved. Okay? You call the Rock Church your house, you get involved because you're ready to make a difference. You're here for such a time as this, and we have a plan and we have a purpose and a place to go, and you are ready to make a difference for the kingdom. So get your gifts and your talents ready to go because here we go. And you know, God used Moses, but God also tells us one last thing, and it's my favorite one because I'm a fighter. Number 4, we are chosen to fight. We are not this wimpy sit-down Christian. You allow hell to come against you, you will get knocked over. But what are you allowing? Because you've been chosen by God. So if you've been chosen, that means you've been equipped with tools and weapons given to you by God. And when Pastor David talks about the sword of the Spirit, you better pull that sucker out. You better pull out your shield. And you better kick some devil butt because let me tell you, he's after you. He's after your family. He's after your soul. He's after you. And you can be chosen by God and be taken out easily, let me tell you, because you allow it. Because you allow it. You can't blame anyone else but yourself. Don't allow the devil to come knock you down. Don't allow the devil to come beat you up. Don't allow the devil to come take your kids. Don't allow the devil to come take your marriage. Don't allow the devil to steal your joy. Don't allow the devil to take your finances. What have you been chosen for? My children are special to me. My kids know that mom and dad are going to take care of them, right? But let's say I said to Chloe the other day, you did this. Now you need to pick that. I did not do that. Chloe, yes, you did. You did too. And I obviously wasn't paying attention. She was really mad at me that I was accusing her of doing something she wasn't doing. And she fought me. Mom, I did not do that. And let me tell you why. And she did. She told me why. And I had to go, okay, Chloe, okay. And she's like, I'm sorry, but when I don't do it, I don't do it. And she was like, and I'm like, all right, fine. How many of you just allow the devil to come beat you up? How come you're not going, no, I am not putting up with that? Like Chloe did. If my little 5-year-old can stand up for herself, you should be able to stand up for yourself. God has called us to fight. I love this story of a woman named Deborah in Judges 4:4-8. It says, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. Okay, these words, I'm so not Pastor Dan, so just bear with me, okay? Was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under a palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. I just love that she sits under a palm tree. I would like to sit under a palm tree one day. But I thought, a palm tree. I've always wondered the meaning of that. Relaxing, shaded. God has her protected, and they come to her. Are you out looking everywhere else you shouldn't be looking? Are you not protected by the things of God and doing what God needs you to do? Here she is where she needs to be because she knows her place. They come to her and she judges. And then she, verse number 6, then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab and Kedosh and blah, 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 and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops to Mount Tabor? Take you then 10,000 men of sons of Naphtali or whatever, and the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jamin's army, and his chariots, and his multitudes at the river of Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. Wait, you're telling me if I go into battle, you're going to deliver my enemy to me? Hello? That's pretty cool. Go into battle and fight, because if you've been chosen, God already knows that you're going to win. And your enemy will be delivered to you. And so you think the fight's going to be rough? It may not be as hard as you think it is. If God's going to bring them to you, you can knock them out, right? We have a saying in our house, when someone makes us mad, I'm going to knock you out. You probably hear me say it to my kids at Target, sorry. I really don't mean I'm going to knock them out, but it's just a saying. But you're going to knock the devil out. I mean, I seriously do, believe it or not, pastor just walks around the house and goes, oh, shut up, devil, I'm going to knock you out. Shut up, devil, I'm going to knock you out. Go back to hell where you came from because you can't stay here. And this is how I talk daily, all day long. So what are you putting up with? Does someone call you on the phone and bring drama into your home? Sorry, don't put up with it. Sorry, is this a drama conversation? I got to hang up now. Sorry, are you being negative? I got to go. Sorry, are you bringing that evil spirit into my house? You can leave. Turn right back around and leave. Because I ain't putting up with that. Listen, take a stand. If you're noticing chaos in your world, there's probably good reason your enemy's at your door and you're letting him in. Kick him out. God has delivered him to you, so kick his butt and kick him out. Listen, I love what Barak said to Deborah in verse 8. He says, and Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go, I will not go. Well, what a wimpy guy. Really? No, he knew who was powerful. He knew who had the faith. He knew who he could fight with. He knew who he needed to take into battle. You be the person people want to take into battle. You be the person people need to call. You be the person. You be that Christian that makes a difference. You be the Deborah in your world. You be that person. Instead of you running to someone else, you be that person. Stop calling everybody else and you be that person. Let's be the real church here, guys. Let's fight a little bit harder. You say, I'm sick of fighting, Pastor Jess. Maybe you're fighting the wrong battle. Are you doing it with God? Or are you doing it on your own? Because let me tell you, when I do battle with God, it really kind of doesn't take too long. And it's not so hard all the time. It's not as hard as I anticipate it to be because I have the peace of God. And because God is walking me through every step of the battle. And he'll give me a verse that day when I'm irritated or frustrated or let down. He'll give me a verse and I'll get perked back up. I'm like, okay, I can do this. And then I'll get frustrated and I talk to somebody and they irritate me again. And I'm like so back in the flesh again. And then God says, oh, no, 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 no. And then I call my mom. And my mom will be like, honey, what does the word say? Are you fighting? You need to get your sword out. Yeah, mom, I need to get my sword out, okay? And I'm pumped back up, ready to go. My mom is my Deborah. My husband is my Deborah. My dad, we have people in our world. Who's in your world that you can get into battle with, that you can fight this good fight of faith? Because it's good when it's in faith. It's good when it's in faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of the eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." I don't know about you, but I'm a fighter and I'm going to win. No matter what the enemy brings my way, he's not going to win. And I'm going to be the Christian that God's called me to be because I know I'm chosen by God for such a time as this to be a difference in my world. Who are you and what are you doing? Body of Christ, let's do this together. Let's be the church together. Let's be chosen by God together. Let's be different to what the world sees and do it together. Use your gifts and your talents for the kingdom. Remember, for such a time as this, you've been chosen. To make a difference, you've been chosen. You've been chosen to use your gifts and talents, and you've been chosen to fight. Take your swords out and don't let the enemy win. If you got something from God tonight, go ahead and give him a hand. Amen. Hallelujah.